Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Because of a legal snafu, today the role of Eric will be played by Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
And the role of Sonia Sotomayor will be played by the late Minnie Pearl. And now your host,
Mr. Lumpy Jingle Pants.
Take it away, Lumpy.
Hey, here I am. I'm so glad that Todd Wilkerson is our announcer to clarify some of these important announcements at the beginning of every show. Don't miss them because... You'll be missing everything. You won't even know who's talking. Yeah. It is I, Eric Metaxas. Chris, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing
well.
How
was your weekend?
It was fantastic.
I believe today is Monday, which means yesterday was the weekend.
Yeah,
it feels like a million years ago already.
Beautiful weather here in New York.
Before I forget, there's so many things to talk about. First of all, today I'm not in New York. You knew that because I'm not there with you. Mm-hmm. But today, right now, I'm in Minneapolis. Mm. Can you hear it in my voice, the way I say Minnesota? I'm in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. Tonight, I'm speaking at the Minnesota Family Council and Institute annual dinner at the Hyatt Regency in downtown Minneapolis. Just in case you're in Minneapolis or have a friend in Minneapolis, you want to come hear me speak about my book, If You Can Keep It, and Liberty, and all that great stuff. I am right now, I'm in Minneapolis, and I'm speaking tonight. By the way, if you want information, you go to mfc.org, mfc.org. That's so simple. Before I forget, I just want to say, obviously, April is over. Today's May 1st. Many parents and kids are making plans for summer camp already. Chris, are you making plans for summer camp for your kids?
Just today, I was looking at some things for Madison.
Okay, well, the reason I bring this up, speaking of summer camp, for children of prisoners, which is to say kids who have one or even both parents in prison, summer doesn't usually mean summer camp. It usually means idle time in hot cities. And horrifically, it means oftentimes facing peer pressure from street gangs, all kinds of stuff that we don't even want to think about. Well, the reason I bring this up is our friends at Prison Fellowship have created a special place where these boys and girls can escape the city. It's called Angel Tree Camp. I've been talking about it on this program every day. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. Jennifer Lowry, who works with Angel Tree, says that it can change a kid's life by sending a powerful message of hope that they get in that week. They're surrounded by loving people. It's just an experience that, you know, when you hear about it, you want these kids to have this. So actually, let's play the clip from Jennifer Lowry.
Got it.
To follow that path, you can meet Jesus personally, and you don't have to get on drugs. You don't have to listen to those other voices. And I think the thing that's really important, you asked earlier about why we need to step up and be involved, is that we're not the only voices competing for these kids. We're not the only people who care about capturing the lives of these kids. The enemy will step right in and fan a flame if we're not there.
Well, okay, so that's the point, right? And by the way, these camps are unapologetically Christian camps, but it's mostly about sharing the love of God with kids who they're, you know, typically in tough surroundings. So as we've been saying, we are doing a campaign with Angel Tree Summer Camps. So if somebody gives a donation of $200, it sends a kid to camp for a week. Mm-hmm. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I can't think of a more direct way to affect lives and to invest in the future. These kids they need loving people around them. They need to get out of their circumstances.
Yeah, it's a literal breath of fresh air for these kids, you know, that they won't otherwise get.
And the idea that you could do it for $200 for a week. So I want to encourage my listeners, if you haven't yet given, anything you want to give. First of all, go to MetaxasTalk.com. You should be going there every 20 minutes anyway, right? So go to MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see at the top there's a banner. But you click on it. Anything you give, folks, if you give $20 or $25, we're really grateful. Everything helps. And I want to get everybody to give something because these kids they're depending on us. They're quite literally depending on us to give. The government is not helping them. The government is very happy if they stay in the city for the whole summer. There's also a number. Let me give the number, 855-630-2500, 855-630-2500, 855-630-2500. 2500. I wanted to say that up front because sometimes the show gets going, we're talking all kinds of guests, and I forget to mention it. And I feel really strongly about this. I know there are people out there who can give a lot of money, and I'm asking you folks, if you're capable of giving a big gift, please. This is a very, very worthy organization. Go to MetaxasTalk.com and click on the banner. Paul Revere's ride. Chris, have watched.
I've watched all of
them. I think all 50 entries. Yeah. I have not yet watched all of them, but I'm working through them.
Yeah.
I'm blown away. Now, people are just tuning in. I was sort of inspired by my own book, If You Can Keep It. I thought, what a cool thing it would be to get kids to memorize this tremendous patriotic poem, Paul Revere's Ride, by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. So we sponsored a contest. The deadline was April 18th. Now, by the way, we have a second contest for groups or classes or something, and that the deadline's today. So if by midnight tonight you get your video in, it'll go into the second group. But the first group, which is much tougher, is for kids to memorize the entire poem by themselves. So it's not like a class production. Where everybody gets one line. This is like where the one kid does it. So I've been watching these videos, and I'm blown away.
They're amazing.
I sent out an e-blast on Saturday asking people to help us, because we're all trying to figure this out, to figure out what are the best ones, because you realize they're all fantastic in different ways. Like some of them, there's a four-year-old.
Yeah.
F-O-U-R, four-year-old kid who memorized the whole poem.
Yeah, it was pretty staggering. The thing that I took away after watching all of them is, number one, there are a lot of cute kids out there.
I was going to say, and really, one is cuter than the next.
Yeah, like, it's really difficult. And the other thing is, I was blown away that, you know, there are a lot of really great Americans. That's the other thing. And the third one is, I was surprised we got multiple submissions with people with horses, actual, you know.
Well, that's because that was, I said I that on the air. Well, but so there's a few with horses. I mean, there's one with
the
young
costumes
lady.
Costumes are great. I mean, it's... It's
there's some have costumes. There's so many different ones.
I mean, they're really all really great.
People are probably wondering, why haven't you picked a winner? We haven't picked a winner because every one of them is about 7 minutes long.
Yeah.
And there's 50 of them.
Yeah.
So you do the math and then you realize that even when you've watched every single one.
Right.
You realize that there's so many that are great in so many
different
kinds of ways. So I think I have an idea of which are my favorites. I won't say it, but there's so many different kinds.
Yeah.
There's a girl who reads it. I think she's a 12-year-old young lady reading it in the Old North Church.
Yeah, that's pretty special. That was pretty great.
Her parents flew her from Indiana for this special thing to the Old North Church.
They flew her there for this?
Oh, yeah. She's from Indiana.
See, I didn't even catch that.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew she was in the church, but I just assumed she was a local.
You assumed she rode her bike? No.
There's another
young lady who reads it at the bridge in Concord, Massachusetts.
Yeah, which is very cool.
She seems to be local, or her parents drove her there.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this one kid who recites half the poem on a bike.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these things are enactments. You've got costumes. They're all so great. And I just want to say, if you participated in this, and I mean this, I am so blessed for every single person, young, old, medium, like every person from the four-year-old to the adults who participated. This is so encouraging to me about this country and so wonderful. So we're going to be going through these. You can go, by the way, to our website.
Yeah.
Go to ericmetaxas.com, or you can go to metaxastalk.com, and we'll have links to all of these videos. We would love you to watch them and weigh in. Send us an email what you think. I think this one's the best. We'd like to get your input. So I sent in my e-blast on Saturday, a couple days ago. I sent this out asking for help. Because we'd love to know what people think. I mean, I'm asking a few people for their opinions in my life, and I'll ultimately decide. But I just would like to know, because there's so many different ways these are wonderful. That's what I find so impressive.
Yeah, and they're all inspiring. So it's really inspiring to watch everybody and see.
And speaking of inspiring American history, I almost forgot. Hillsdale, folks, go to Metaxas for Hillsdale, or just go to our website, metaxastalk.com. Hillsdale College is offering a free course in American history, and we're talking Hillsdale American history, which means the real thing. It's just fantastic. So I want to encourage you, go to metaxastalk.com, click on the banner for Hillsdale. Just watch the first ones, the President Larry Arnn. You'll see what I'm talking about. Did I mention it's free? Did I mention that? Okay, we're gonna be right back. I think we're talking about Israel today. Tomorrow, we're talking about pornography, why it's bad, and we're talking about pilgrims and why they are awesome. Tomorrow, pornography and pilgrims on the Eric Metaxas Show. We'll be right back. Long forgotten man, we're all alone. Sugar.
are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you, honey.
Hey there, folks. If you need something sugary, I think honey is better than a lot of the, you know, just raw sugar. It's not. It's just not as healthy. Just wanted to make that point before we leap into the serious conversation. Folks, I have on the line Dave Richardson, who is the author of a book, a new book called Transparent, How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. Dave Richardson, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's good to have you on. We have a mutual friend in our buddy Stan Oakes, formerly president of the King's College, very, very dear friend. And he was telling me about you and your book, and I said, this sounds like red meat for my audience. And so I'm glad that we could figure out a time to get you on. So what is your background before we leap into the thesis of the book?
Well, my background, I have been in full-time ministry, first of all, for 32 years. Most of my work has been actually with college professors rather than with college students. Right. So I know the university very well because I know the people that run the university.
Right.
And that's an important piece of the puzzle, knowing who I am. And that's how I know Stan.
Yes. All right. So right off the bat, we've outed you as a Jesus freak, just like me. And you know what? It's good to be upfront about that. Come and kill me. I'm a Jesus freak. All right. So you, sir, have written the book called Transparent, How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. Now, there's an irony here because there is within your title itself an assumption. The assumption is that powerful assumptions control me and you and others. So let's start there. The idea that we're controlled by assumptions, what do you mean by that? And maybe that's a good place to ask you also, why did you write this book?
Okay. Well, whenever we reach the ragged edge of what we know and what we don't know, we have to assume something because none of us are omniscient. And since we're not omniscient, eventually we reach the bottom of what we know and what we don't know. So we have to assume something to be real, something to be true. And it's not a question of if you assume, it's how you assume and
right.
whether your assumptions are true.
Right.
And so it's a question of getting down to what is it that we're assuming? Because that's kind of like an autopilot in our rational process.
Right.
And so those are the things literally that drive everything we say, do, and think every day. It's that autopilot in the back of our head.
Right.
That we seldom question it. We seldom even re-examine them. In fact, for many people, their assumptions were established when they were very young and haven't revisited them perhaps for decades.
Right. Now, it's fair to say that there's an implication when we say how to see through the powerful assumptions that control you, it's fair to say that there's an implication that assumptions that control us are bad. But I think I want to be clear, or at least get you to clarify, that in fact, not all assumptions that control us are bad. It's just that some of them probably are, and those are the ones that we need to revisit or revise. In other words, if I have an assumption about some things that I learned early on, which happen to be good assumptions. They're helping me think clearly without having to reinvent the wheel every time I formulate a thought or an opinion. At the same time, I have formed opinions maybe many years ago, maybe fairly recently, that are steering me in ways that are not ideal. So is it fair to say that some of the assumptions that control us, control has a negative connotation, but in fact that some of them are positive?
Oh yes, very much so. Yeah, it's not. I remember learning this when I was in college. The old Oscar Wilde quotation. Be careful how you assume because.
Oscar Wilde. You're kidding. That cannot be Oscar Wilde. Really?
It goes all the way back to Oscar Wilde.
We know it doesn't go back to Plato because he didn't spell assume that way. Okay,
no.
So. But you're right.
Yeah, it has a negative connotation, but it really shouldn't, because like I said, none of us are omniscient. And so when we reach that edge of what we know and what we don't know, we have to assume something.
Right.
So it's not if you do it, it's how you do it.
So you're talking about thinking about how we think, which is, it's pretty basic. It's, I mean, Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Above the Delphic Oracle, there was that statement, know thyself. There's something about thinking about how we think and whether we bring faulty assumptions to the table that is at the very heart of wisdom. I would say that.
Yes, very much so. That's the critical piece of the puzzle is most people today tend to emote rather than think. We're an image-driven culture rather than a literary-driven culture.
Right.
And so the art of thinking in general is a dying art. And especially when you're working in some of the arenas that I've been working in for so long, most of those things are not even questioned. They're just self-evidently true and
right.
have never, ever been seriously looked at because underneath all of the complex ideologies and isms are actually very simple, basic assumptions that aren't true, don't work, and don't match the actual world that we live in. And yet, it's the emperor's new clothes. Nobody even wants to say it.
It's funny because since you've worked at universities, a big part of your thinking along these lines has to do with how you see assumptions, powerful assumptions in the academy, that when you go to college, without even necessarily being conscious about it, professors and administrators and usually fellow students are assuming things, and it's very powerful. I experienced this at Yale. It was just, it's one of the reasons that I look basically negatively upon my experience in college, because these are terrible things that they begin to shove you into ways of thinking that are themselves betrayals of the whole academic project. The idea that we're supposed to think about how we think, we're supposed to examine our assumptions, we're supposed to see what is true and hold things up to the light of skepticism and questioning the Socratic method. Typically, we don't do that. And that, in fact, is dangerous. I think it's led us to a place in the culture that really is dangerous, that there are plenty of people just kind of marching along blithely, assuming that what they believe has to be true, when in fact much of it is not true.
Yes, my experience is the same when I was doing my postgraduate work at Oxford University. I got this the same sort of thing. You know, the interesting thing for me is my work with college professors, especially those who tend to be interested in the Christian faith and how that intersects with academia. That's almost a taboo subject anymore.
Oh yeah,
and the interesting thing is that what motivated me to write the book was initially just my work with college professors.
Yeah,
where I'd meet some men and women who actually did care about their Christian faith, did think that the Bible had something to say about how to live their lives. But when it came to the thing that they're a leader or an expert at, they're an economist or they're an engineer or whatever it is that they're teaching in, that faith didn't seem to have much of a connection.
Yeah.
And so I was struggling with, I understand in your personal life your faith is meaningful, but if it's true that God exists and he made everything and runs everything, then he does have something to say about mathematics and something to say about whatever it is that you're talking about.
Well, secularism has crept in and now has taken over the academy. This idea, the false idea that, and it's the same thing, it's the same idea of the separation between church and state. Rather than meaning that both of these things are valuable and have their own spheres, we have misunderstood it and assumed that this means that the church and the world of faith has nothing to say to the rest of the world. That's ridiculous. History proves it to be ridiculous. But it's such a powerful assumption that today, if you bring it up with people, a lot of them will say, well, what do you mean? It's self-evident, the separation of church and state. They have no idea what that actually means, and they've allowed that false divide to enter the whole world in which they in which they live.
Yes.
When we come back, I want to continue the conversation. So hang on there, Dave Richardson. Dave Richardson is the author of a book, Transparent. Transparent. How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. Transparent by Dave Richardson. By the way, this is the Eric Metaxas Show. Our website, MetaxasTalk.com. My personal website is EricMetaxas.com. If you know where I'm speaking, want to know where I'm speaking next, go to EricMetaxas.com. We'll be right back.
Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer, shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer, lead us less too far, we wonder, love's sweet voices calling yonder, shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer, hey there, don't get dimmer, dimmer, light the path below above, and lead us on to love.
Hey there, folks, that's the Mills Brothers, one of the hottest groups today. Incredible. They're just rocketing up the pop charts. Terrific. The Mills Brothers, check them out. I'm talking right now to the author of a new book called Transparent, How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. His name is Dave Richardson. Dave, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric.
So really what happens, because your background is in universities, you see that young people, even from backgrounds where they go to church or whatever, they come into the university. And then these very powerful assumptions that are at this university pretty much take them over. And over 4 years, it kind of works at them until they – I mean, it's basically what happened to me. I graduate and you think, in a way, political correctness and a lot of false thoughts have not at all been examined with any rigor. In fact, they've not been examined at all. And you just kind of drift through and you pick it up. And next thing you know – you know, you're part of the unwashed hordes that doesn't think about how they think.
That's true. And the reason I wanted to write the book the way that I did is not just to be another academic story, but I wanted it to be something that was practical for students, something that was practical for parents, you know, because there's a lot of families that have a bit of angst wondering what's going to happen to my student when they leave home and they go off to the university and are exposed to these things. Do they have the ability to see through those things? While I have some significant academic background myself, I'm actually the son of a truck driver. I grew up in a single wide trailer house and have a real affinity for rural working class America as well, and wondering how do you take these high, lofty ideas and make them accessible for everyday people in a way that they can actually use them so that it's practical. And that's what I did with this book is I want to be able to help that student when they come into the classroom and they're exposed to these ideas, so whether it's in a lecture or whether it's in a textbook or whether it's something that they're hearing in a conversation with a friend. Can they figure it out for themselves?
Right.
The interesting thing about assumptions is they're so powerful, but yet they're very simple. I did a lot of research into what the assumptions are specifically, not just in general, and discovered that there's three basic ways that people tend to assume about the world. And I turned it into a practical tool that's a phone app that you can carry with you. So regardless of whether you're reading something, watching something, or listening to something, you can figure out whether the message is true based on its assumptions.
Okay,
and
now
– about.
There's an app.
Seconds is what it takes.
There's an app.
Yes.
Okay, now hold on. This is great. So first of all, there's a website, thetransparentbook.com. So the website is thetransparentbook.com. But what is the app?
The app is the Transparent app. It's available on Google Play and iTunes. You can put it right there on your phone or your tablet. And so as you're sitting there listening to that lecture in the classroom, or as you're reading that textbook or that web page, or you're watching a television show or a movie, you can figure out whether the message is true or not based on its assumptions in about 20 seconds.
That's pretty amazing. So what are some of the assumptions that we bump up against regularly without maybe noticing that they're assumptions?
Well, there's a number of them. It ultimately comes down to the bottom line assumption that we all make, and it's about what's here in the first place. The question, what's really real, is what I ultimately am trying to answer. Because if you start off with just the assumption that everything is just physical, it's matter and energy, that's all that exists, and there's plenty of people that believe that, then when you talk about spiritual things, well, that's nonsensical to that person,
right?
Because that's not really real. That doesn't really exist.
They have an assumption, right, that reality is comprised of what is material, period, case closed. And the thing is, they never question that.
No.
And you have to question that. In fact, I mean, the very idea of the Big Bang, which is accepted by, you know, 99% of scientists, say that 13.8 billion years ago, there was a singularity out of nothingness, literally not space, not there was nothing. The universe expanded, kaboom, and here we are. But they never seem to be troubled very much about, okay, if that's the case, could there have been a cause? What preceded that? What existed before matter and time and space and energy? All those things were created less than 14 billion years ago. So did they come from someplace else? Do they just, in other words, it's assumed as though they already, or rather as though they always existed. But science is now telling us, no, they didn't always exist. So now you have to think on some level outside of science and outside of the material world, because we have now learned from science that the material world didn't always exist. So if you have a steady state universe assumption, which they did for a long time, you could get away with this. But suddenly,
yes,
Now science itself has challenged scientists to think about this.
Well, it even goes even deeper than the scientific level. The very fact that a person who assumes in this way that it's just a physical-only universe, how can they know anything? Because their thoughts that's rattling around in their head would be nothing more than the product of a biochemical reaction in their head due to sensory stimuli. Your senses detected something, it stimulated your brain, created a biochemical reaction, and that's where your thoughts come from.
Okay, this is where it gets really heavy. In other words, you're telling me that if the material universe is all that is, then how could I possibly trust my ability to think about it?
Exactly.
Hey, hold on. We're coming up to a tough break. Hold on 1 second. We'll be right back.
Never mind, love. Never mind, love.
In constant sorrow.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Dave Richardson, the author of Transparent, How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. Dave, we were just talking about this idea that so many people believe the material world is all that there is. They don't think there's anything beyond the material world, but they never question that. And there's a whole different way, a bunch of ways to look at that. But you were just making a point as we had to go to a break.
Yes. That if you assume in that way that all there is the natural material world, then how can you trust your reasoning process at all? How can you know anything? Because your thoughts are nothing more than biochemical reactions due to sensory stimuli. And did you have any control over any of that? No.
Right.
It's just the chemistry doing what it does in my head. And so how are those even your thoughts? And so you have to assume you can have reliable knowledge. But the facts are, there's no way that you can trust your own thoughts if that's how that works.
I mean,
so those assumptions are crazy.
It's a funny thing because a lot of us are afraid to question our own assumptions, but there's something really healthy and freeing about it. Because
yeah.
I would say, you know, as a person of faith, that we do not have to fear questioning truth, questioning assumptions, that everything. I know that the universe is a place I can trust. I can trust my own logic. I can trust the search for truth. I'm not worried that it's going to take me down some bleak alley. And so I have this total freedom and peace to let the truth and the logic lead me wherever it will. But I think that there are people that they're afraid of where it might lead them. So they cling to cliches and ideas that feel safe. And ironically, we want to coax them out of their comfort zones. They think somehow that they're being more logical, but in fact, they're clinging to cliches and half-truths, and they ought to be brave enough to step beyond a lot of these cultural assumptions and cultural cliches and ask the question, is what I'm being taught in college or what I'm hearing on TV, is that right? Or am I hearing cliches upon cliches that are actually just keeping me from seeing what's really there?
Yes. That's a real challenge. Like I had mentioned earlier, that thinking is a lost art, and it doesn't have to be complicated. In fact, the tool that I've developed called the Critical Assumptions Test, that's part of my book and is also automated with the Transparent app, makes it very simple. It's powerful enough that I have college professors in major universities changing the way they teach their classes, but it's so simple that a middle schooler with a little practice can actually use it. And so that's why I'm really excited about this thing, because it makes it so accessible to everyday people.
This is really cool. What is the name of the app again?
It's the Transparent app. It's the companion to the book Transparent.
Okay, so the website is thetransparentbook.com, and the Transparent app is the app.
Yes.
So to think about how we think, again, this has been something that we can go back 25 centuries and more. The ancient Greeks, gnosis se afton, know yourself. We're challenged 25 centuries ago to think about how we think, to think about our own biases, our own assumptions, 25 centuries ago. And I would say that the West was built on this, that without that, you can't get to where we are today with science and everything else that we have. But ironically, we have recently, as you say in your book, Transparent, we've really lost this art. This is something that has more and more gone by the wayside, I would say, in the last 40 or so years.
Yes. And it's been supplanted with emotion. Not that emotion's a bad thing,
but it can be very bad.
Yes, it can, because it's when it's tied to the second way of assuming that I talk about in my book, it can lead to some really horrific stuff. The second way of assuming, rather than assuming that the only thing that's real is something physical, the second way of assuming is everything that's really real is non-physical. It's either something spiritual or it's something that's mental. And that's
right.
That's the actual world that we see. The way that works out today is in socio-political ideals. The notion that there is an ideal human, an ideal human society, and the belief that we could actually achieve it. If I can conceive it and I believe it, then I can achieve it. You see that in the positive thinking movement.
Right. I just cut to the chase and say that's incredibly dumb. But
yeah.
If I were in college as a professor, I couldn't get away with that. But maybe you can start there and say, let me begin here with this thesis sentence. That's incredibly dumb. Now let me explain. It's dumb because it's patently untrue. In other words, if you take 3 seconds to think it through, when people say, well, you can be whoever you want to be, or there are many things in the culture now leading us to think that. But in fact, it's a very limited notion. I can never be an Olympic decathlete. I can never be, the first woman to fly across the Atlantic. I can never be. I mean, you have to start there and say that's a nice idea. It's a nice idea that I can achieve things and I can, but at the same time, bring a little wisdom in and think about limits and think about how limits are an important part of reality. And then let's think about what gives me freedom to be something more. What are the assumptions there? Because I think a lot of people who live in places like America and the West think that the whole world lives in places like America and the West, where, their goal is, skydiving or climbing high mountains or achieving great things like that. And they don't realize that most people are struggling to feed their children. And so even the assumption that I am to soar with the eagles, that I'm to be, is itself an assumption. It's itself an ignorance of how much of the world lives today. And that is something that I often see in America. People kind of act like everything's positive achievement, whatever. And you think, well, that's nice for you, but is that really what you want to be thinking about? What about the people who can't even begin to get an education, or their child is a daughter in some Muslim country and she's not allowed to learn how to read or write? Once you look at those kinds of things, you realize that, yeah, you have these powerful Western assumptions about what life is all about, and you haven't yourself examined that. We're going to go to another break. We have a final segment with Dave Richardson. The book, folks, is called Transparent: How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. This is really powerful. The website is thetransparentbook.com. Folks, it's Eric Metaxas' show. I'm talking to the author of a new book, Transparent: How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. Dave Richardson, we've just got a few minutes left. What can we tell my listeners in our final minutes?
Well, assumptions are operating everywhere, and it's a question of which ones you're using. Are they true? Are they not? They affect everything you say, do, and think. And so it's better to have the right ones than the wrong ones.
Okay, so you're saying that there are right ones and wrong ones. That's important, because I think sometimes, I think it was Chesterton who said something about, you know, it's good to see through things, but ultimately you don't want to see through things so that you never actually see anything on the other side of what you see through. There is such a thing as truth. There are such things as correct assumptions. There are such things as incorrect assumptions. So this is not meant to make people cynical about the whole thought process, that I can never really be free and transparent. In fact, what you're saying and what I'm saying is that to be transparent, to think through things and to think through the assumptions, is to lead us to something called truth and reality.
Yes. Yeah, truth basically matches that which is real. So that important first question, what's really real, makes all the difference in the world. It's either something that's physical, it's either something that's non-physical, or there's a third way of assuming that both physical and non-physical things both are real.
Right.
But the thing they have in common is that they're created. Created physically, created non-physically, they're both equally real. And that there's a second reality, and that reality is the creator, the person who made everything. The creator and the creation are not the same thing. You can tell them apart.
Right.
There's not an equal sign. God is not the universe. The universe is not God.
You have to see, that's another one of the big assumptions today. A lot of times people say the universe did this or did that. And then I say, whoa. What are you assuming? Like, where did you get that from? It's kind of a new cliche that people, they feel uncomfortable talking about God, but they feel comfortable talking about the universe. And so they say things like, the universe, you know, opened that possibility to me. I say, wait, so you're anthropomorphizing the universe? You're making the universe sound just like God, except you don't like the idea of God in the Bible. So you say the universe. What does that mean? And then you start having to get into what you just said, is that if there's a God who's a creator, he created the universe. He is not the universe.
No.
A lot of New Age thinking throws the two together, that there's this creative force, that it is the universe, it's within it, but it doesn't ask, is there anything beyond the universe? Did something create the universe? See, we right away get into this big stuff. I love this. I just love this. I assume that you talk a lot about this book on campuses. Is that the case, or at churches? Yes. Or where do you get to talk about this?
I do it on university campuses. I actually even work with public school teachers, which is exciting. This allows them to have a critical thinking exercise that they can use in their lectures that helps them teach their students how to think, but not what to think. But also, I do this with churches, with families. At the same time, with men and women, parents want to leave a legacy with their their children.
If you can teach your kids to think,
yeah,
you don't need to teach them anything else, because reality will guide them toward truth. If you can teach them to think. So, Dave Richardson, thank you so much for being my guest.
Eric, thanks so much for the privilege. I appreciate it.
This is a joy. The book, folks, is Transparent, How to See Through the Powerful Assumptions That Control You. The website is thetransparentbook.com. Dave Richardson is the author. There's a Transparent app. Check it out. Learn how to think. Kind of important. Jesus is just gone.